You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stage in 50,000.
Well, hello everyone, welcome back, and welcome to episode 85 of Ravens Weekly. My name is Matt Hall, and I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by the ever-present Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we doing this week?
I'm very well, thank you.
Looking forward to an FA Cup weekend, but we're going to get back onto that shortly. We have discussed it in the last podcast. We're going to get onto that one shortly. We're going to start today by looking at the previous two games, and of course, the first of those was Halifax at home. And we were just talking about this off camera, or off mic, Jeff, I should say, actually, really, as we're not being filmed. Not really too much to say about this one, was there?
No, obviously, yeah, 0-0.
Pretty much it, yeah.
No, you know what, really, you don't really want to dwell on it because it's gone now, and obviously we got a positive result straight afterwards, but obviously you felt it was written in the stars for Cheek, wasn't it? 100th appearance,
the penalty, yeah.
Uppy steps. But yeah, not going to be. But like I say, you don't have the record he does without having, you know, things like that along the way. He dusts himself down and cracks on. So yeah, extremely, extremely disappointed, which is probably, again, another side of progress. I think Halifax have always been a good opposition in the past, etc., and to get a 0-0 draw at home. But I think, I think we all wanted to maybe see us push a little harder and possibly go and get that win. I think Andy might have referred to that himself as well. But it wasn't to be. But yeah, another good crowd over 2,000 at Hayes Lane. That was great to see. And like you say, I think it set us up nicely for the Tuesday, really.
Absolutely brilliant. And like you say there, the second consecutive game with over 2,000 fans, sorry, in the ground, which is absolutely amazing. The support on the day was fantastic. So huge thank you to everybody who attended. And then, like you say, we moved on to Tuesday, a very cold night at Kingfield.
Freezing.
And a very strange one as well, Jeff, with events that no one probably listening to this podcast will not be aware of. So can you shed some light on that one, Jeff?
Brilliant. I mean, that sums up the night, doesn't it?
I think it does.
How many minutes were we in?
15.
It was freezing cold, yeah. And the moment those floodlights go out, 15 minutes in, all sorts of things are going through your head. Because the biggest thing, being the week before the FA Cup, it was almost, you didn't personally, as a fan and stuff, you didn't want that game. You knew what was going to happen. It was either going to be an injury, there was either going to be an unnecessary sending off or something like that that was going to impact in some shape or form for our FA Cup game on Saturday. So all of a sudden, 15 minutes in, you've got your head round, okay, the game's on, you know, let's get out. I would say Woking had, you know, I know it's only 15 minutes, but they definitely had a lot more of the ball than us. And the lights going out, I think, definitely stalled a bit of their early momentum. But like you say, it was only 15 minutes. But yeah, when the lights go out, hand on heart, there was half of me going, you know what, that'll do. Let's pack our bags, go back home. Everyone's unscathed. We'll do this again later in the year and let's concentrate on the FA Cup Saturday. But I'm sure that wasn't going through the manager and the players' minds. I'm sure having prepared properly for that game, they wanted to go there, get the result and get the job done, which, as we all know, they did in the end. But yeah, so the lights went out. We were probably a good 20 minutes or so, weren't we?
Yes, I think it was in the end with the two incidences combined. And obviously then the individual bulbs came back on, and I think there was rumour that the referee was saying there had to be a minimum four of them on to actually continue the game.
So we restarted, didn't we?
And it was two, wasn't it, in the end?
And then they went out again. So we had two restarts in the end, didn't we, before we actually finally got underway. And yeah, a big thank you to everybody who was tuning in on commentary and putting up with us during that period. I know there were numerous light puns and stuff, both from ourselves and our valued listeners. So it certainly kept us entertained.
Absolutely. And obviously the two goals as well, they were quite late on, weren't they, in the grand scheme of things. And I actually say late, and it was probably nearly 9:45.
Oh, yeah.
By the time they were scored, and we would have been done and dusted by that point. But the team really played on and really pushed to the end, didn't they? And there was just that, they had that extra mile in them when you compare the two teams.
I think there were some brave calls as well, I think, on the substitutes as well. You know, I think,
yep.
I think there was a challenge in Billy Bingham, you know, and he was on a yellow in that second half, and you thought, oh. And then You know, it's one of those ones where the ref could have quite easily, if he wanted to, have given a yellow, and it would have completely been unjustified, but he could have done. And then we made the sub, and again, you're expecting, you know, I don't know, I was certainly expecting Jude Offs or someone like that, and obviously on came Jack, you know, not his natural position, but he was fantastic in there.
Absolutely.
Physically got involved, exactly what we needed in that moment of time. Obviously, Jude came on later or before, sorry. But, again, really brave calls there. And he goes and gets a goal as well. That's absolutely superb.
And quite some goal, wasn't it? It was the corner from Chris Bush in the end, which was sweetly struck home first time by Jack Cawley. And within 10 minutes of his debut, playing in an unfamiliar position, he scores his first goal. It's what dreams are made of, isn't it?
It was brilliant. I think one of his first involvements in the game was winning about four headers in the middle of the park. You know, it's exactly what we needed at that moment of time. So, again, another fantastic call from the bench. And, like you say, Matt, I think, again, James Allaby, his work rate just gets rewarded.
It does, it does. And he forced Diarra into the error in the end and persisted, putting the ball on a plate for George Alexander. And that's his second goal in little over 2 weeks. And that's absolutely brilliant because his work rate really warranted that on the night. And like we say, great for Jack to notch on his debut as well. I think we're now going to go to the audio of those goals, aren't we, Jeff?
I think there's some professional quality commentary available from the evening.
Turn your volume down a tad, that's my advice. Looks like Jack Cawley's playing centre midfield here, Jeff. Trotter. Bush. Bush to Webster, he's being closed down by Loza, has to get rid of it quickly. And he does. Alabi's making the run to get there, and Alabi's worked his way round. Diarra, it's James Alabi here. It's towards Diarra!
God was given Bromley to Liverpool!
Excellent play from James Alabi, who has the beating of Moussa Diarra. All ends up, squares it into the six-yard box, and George Alexander finishes from close range. Woking nil, Bromley one.
Oh, he's absolutely lit up the stadium, Matt. Absolutely superb.
Interesting. It is a corner, actually, as Bush drills it in towards Cawley.
Yes!
Debut that is for Jack Cawley. And Chris Bush with the corner. Jack Cawley with the finish. And that is what you call a dream debut, Jeff.
Absolutely brilliant, Matt. 2-0 to the Ravens. Oh, call it time. That'll do. Keep an eye on that floodlight, Matt. That's all I'm saying.
So apologies to anyone who might have had some difficulty listening to that.
I don't think I'm that loud. It's just that the microphone, I'm holding the microphone too close. I don't know what it is. I've got a sincere apologies. I will find a balance moving forward.
I have to say this. Scott the chef, who was on the other side of the ground, claimed that he could hear you from the other side of the ground, which was interesting. That was my response as well. But a great evening all round. And obviously Andy Woodman was really, really pleased with the professionalism and the performance. And of course the clean sheet as well. And it was great to catch up with him, not just after the game.
I'm only going to drop in that clean sheet. Mark Cousins.
Oh, unbelievable. That's a very good point.
I mean, come on.
And I have to say that one challenge from Omar Shomi as well, just into the second half,
block.
Wasn't it?
Oh,
yeah. Those are pivotal moments, aren't they? If that goes in, it's a different game.
100%. And like I say, some of the saves that Cousins pulled off and just that confidence to come out and claim and punch and, you know, it must be very reassuring, I think, for a back three, back four, etc., to play in front of him and know you've got that kind of quality and assurance behind you.
Absolutely, that's a really, really good point. So on to the interview then. As mentioned, we did catch up with Andy Woodman post-match. You can find that one on our YouTube channel at Bromley FC. We caught up with him once the dust had settled down a little bit to talk about all things during that match against Woking and looking ahead to the FA Cup game on Saturday. Andy, the dust now settled from Tuesday night. It was a really strange evening, but credit to the players. They dealt with the situation better than the opposition in the end.
Yeah, no, I thought credit to the players to keep their focus and concentration. It wasn't an easy night with the floodlight failure. But that said, fair play to Woking. You know, they worked very hard to make sure that the game still went ahead. So I'm delighted that my players kept their focus, but I'd also like to say, you know, well played to the staff of Woking to make sure that game got finished.
And overall, quite a closely contested game, but the team really pushed towards the end and ended up coming out on top.
Yeah, I say it all the time, the margins are really fine. You know, Big Omar made a really good block at 0-0, which would have put them 1-0 up. And then 5 or 6 minutes later, we go and score at the other end. So it's all about those fine margins. And we're doing the right things at the moment and getting the rewards, which is great.
And Jack Hawley coming on, obviously getting the goal, and you put him in midfield. Was that something you foresaw?
Weirdly enough, I did, yeah. I've watched Jack really closely in training, and he likes to play centre-half. He can play centre or left centre-half, and he can play left-back. But watching him in training as well, he can play football as well. So I spoke to him the day before. I said, I've got something in mind, just to sort of put it in his head. And then as the game sort of panned out with Billy on a yeller, it just made real sense to make sure that Billy didn't get a second yellow and get sent off. And he went in there and he'd done exactly what I hoped he would do, and he executed it well, you know, and added a goal to it, which was great.
And that made it 10 games unbeaten and 4 clean sheets from 7. And I can tell you, you're quite pleased with that, but the work doesn't stop, does it?
No. what we don't want to be is, you know, looking at that statistic with nothing to show. So we'll be going to Saturday's game and we hope we can still stay unbeaten. But look, in the league particularly, I think we've done brilliant. Really, you know, if I go right back to our first game of the season against Dagenham, when wow, the goals were flying in and we looked a real sort of different team from pre-season. Credit to the lads, they put the work in, and credit to the staff. You know, we've really drilled these boys, and the fruits of our labour are paying off a little bit at the moment.
And it's an exciting weekend ahead, but you're making it very clear it's no jolly day out, is it?
No, I don't want, you know, I want the fans to have a great day, of course I do, but I don't want my players to have a great day in that respect of they just think they're turning up and just having one of these games where, you know, we shouldn't be here, so we're just going to enjoy it. I don't buy that. We're professional sportsmen, so I want to make sure we go there, give a really good account of ourselves, and you know, I want to get us in the next round of the cup. I want this football club to be in the draw, the next round. So, you know, as much as that we can have a great day out, I kind of want to go out there and have a winning day out and make sure we're in the next round of the cup. So we're really focused on this match.
And we often talk of the fans. We've just heard upstairs just under 400 tickets sold at the minute for the Bromley supporters, which is an absolutely incredible level of support.
Brilliant. You know, I'm delighted to hear that level of support we've got, and hopefully it'll keep growing. If there's anyone out there that's half humming and hawing about coming to the game, come on, get on a coach and come and support us guys, because it can make the difference for us. You know, let's try and get out to 500, 600, 700, because it's really important that you know, the players feel the appreciation of the town we're in, that supporting this football club. We'd really like to get those numbers up, but I'm delighted, you know, with the numbers so far, and if we can keep pushing them up, it's going to be all the help we need. You know, a tough place to go the weekend.
Always great to hear from Andy, Matt. He's you know, his interviews are always very, very honest, very open. It gives you real insight into what he's thinking and his thoughts.
It's always really, really interesting speaking to Andy, because he just he really does think deeply about all of these things. And, you know, particularly even off camera, speaking to him about the whole floodlight fiasco on Tuesday and how the team's dealt with it. And obviously his first experience of that, a lot of players' first experience of that, but the team dealt with it really well. But when things, you know, when things aren't always going so well, Andy's always very honest as well. And when things are going well, like they have been, you know, he's very, very quick to sort
games.
Of, yeah, it's incredible. And he plays it down, doesn't he? He plays it down. And that's, I think, one of the keys to what is going on with the team at the minute. And long may that continue. He's very feet on the ground.
You've got to shout about it as well. Like you say, non-league
you
paper, BBC Radio, all that stuff like that. Just ignoring the fact of where we are. You know,
you
we've,
do,
we've, but got to, we've got to work and make that happen and make them cover it as well. But
we want it to be more,
yeah,
don't
it's
we?
It's definitely under the radar. And I think the credit that should be given is necessarily being given or being received from various outlets. Nevertheless, doesn't matter, because facts are facts. 10 games unbeaten.
That's it, and
phenomenal.
The table shows it, doesn't it? Go you look
in,
at the table.
Going into an FA Cup weekend, it's absolutely brilliant.
In great form, and really, really excited about this FA Cup game. Really hoping it's going to be a great contest between the two sides. But we're going to come onto that in a bit, aren't we? And someone, Jeff, you were praising earlier on, Mark Cousins.
Oh, what a goalkeeper.
I know, and what a person as well. Absolutely top gentleman he is, Mark Cousins, and it was a real, real pleasure to sit down with him and have a little chat on Thursday, as well as Andy, and here's what Mark had to say. Mark Cousins, we're chatting to you off the back of a great 2-0 win away to Woking. I think the question on everyone's minds at the minute is, how did you keep yourselves occupied in the floodlight fiasco?
Oh, it was a bit of a unique situation to be in, really. I don't think it's ever happened to me before in my career, and I don't think any of the other lads have experienced it. First time we came off, I think everyone didn't really know what was going on, whether they would get it back on, but then once they got word of it coming back on, it's just a quick little warm-up and straight back into it, really. In the change room, like the gaffer said, keeps us it's a very relaxed. Spoke a bit about tactics, but yeah, well, you can only speak so much about tactics. You have to switch off for a little bit, and then once we got the go-ahead to the game was going to restart, it was heads back on and focus on the game.
And obviously it did happen the once, and then it happened again, but it looked after that as a professional performance, and it actually looked as if Bromley dealt with it better than Woking.
Yeah, I think Woking started really well. I think they came at us, had a few set pieces, a few crosses thrown into the box, and I think that probably disturbed their rhythm a bit, and probably the floodlight failure did benefit us, because I think once the game restarted properly for the second time, I don't think they really put much pressure on us up until like the half time period. So yeah, I think it definitely benefited us, the floodlight failure.
And it was a clean sheet for yourself and the defence, a great performance all round, some brilliant saves at the end as well.
Yeah, I think it was a different kind of game, very physical game for all the lads out there. They've got some very big players, as have we really, but I thought we dealt really well with the set pieces, and another clean sheet is another positive to build on.
And as well as your couple of saves at the end, which were outstanding, I think there was a challenge from Omar Shomi in the second half when Rowan Ince was through on goal. It was a fantastically timed challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a brilliant block. And that was a key moment in the game. I think that was just after half time, and if they had scored that, it might have been it would have been a totally different game. And so they're the key moments that are going our way at the moment. And fair play to Omar, he got back in and I think just laid down and covered the whole goal. But it was a great block in the end. And that really helped us to go on and get the 3 points.
And talking about the 3 points, the two goals as well, brilliant work from James Alabi for the first one, and really good for George Alexander to score again.
Yeah, it was like James, he chased that ball down and put pressure on their centre-half, Diarra, and I think he slipped over. But once again, the composure for James to pick out George, and George has been getting those positions, and it was so good for him to score another goal, and hopefully, keeps getting more goals, and that'll be great for the team.
And we joked with Andy Woodman post-match on Tuesday that it was an inspired substitution. Jack Cawley coming on, doing a great job in midfield firstly. And what a goal. It's a brilliant strike.
Oh, it's a fantastic finish, like from behind where I was standing. And yeah, a very sweet finish straight off his left foot, and it flew in. And Jack came on and done a really good job in midfield. I think he's a defender in like centre-half, really. But like, he came on and he didn't look out of place at all.
And we now turn our attentions to the FA Cup. What does that competition mean to you?
Oh, the FA Cup's so special to everyone, I think. Everyone's had experiences of like big games and upsets, and we're now the underdogs going into the game against Rotherham, but we certainly aren't. Like the gaffer's been saying, we're not going there for a day out. We're going to be putting out a strong team, and our aim is obviously to win the game.
And the support's going to be great as well on the day, isn't it? Six coaches going up, as well as other people making their way up by other means. It's great to see, isn't it? And that's made a huge difference to the team this season, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant to hear about the six coaches, I think, the chairman's put on for the fans as well. So that's a great gesture by him. But, yeah, the away support's always that extra little bit special, really, because I think the players appreciate how much effort goes into travelling and the cost of it. So, yeah, it's to see as many fans will be there on Saturday will be great.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
No worries, mate. Thank you.
Thoroughly enjoyed catching up with Mark there. He's a real, real gentleman, as we've been saying, and he's been in amazing form this season. And I think people sometimes don't realise how lucky we are to have such a good goalkeeper and a great guy as well.
Hit him at one end, that cheek at the other end. I mean, you know, you just...
And they're best friends off the pitch as well, which is even better.
Absolutely superb. I've got to take back a bit of what I said about us not necessarily getting the credit and the praise that the club deserves, because we've got two TV appearances coming up.
We do. Two very different TV appearances, though, Jeff, aren't they? Is a favourite of mine, Football Focus. Andy Woodman's going to appear on there, which is amazing.
Favourite of yours? You were on there once, weren't you?
I was invited up by Dan Walker to Football Focus, yes. Moving on from that, personally invited. Let's move on from that.
That's behind the scenes. You didn't appear on...
No, I got shouted out on the show But yeah, the camera panned round and then sort of panned back, probably when it saw my face, to be honest. But face for radio, Jeff. But yeah, Football Focus, absolutely brilliant show. And it's great to see that Andy Woodman's going to be on it. And I think everyone will be tuning in to catch that. So
they were down here this week filming.
Yeah, I believe it was Clem. Yeah, Clem doing the interview, wasn't
Clem?
It?
Who's Clem?
Mark Clement.
Oh, right.
Yeah, who's been down here a few times, actually. Really, really nice guy. So looking forward to seeing Andy on there and what he's got to say. He's made a few media appearances, actually.
What time is that going to be? Oh, we're all going to be at the game, aren't we? Is it
12 till 1.
Between 12 and 1 for those that aren't making the game.
Shout out to Josh in the background there for that. But yeah, Andy's been in a host of media appearances this week, which has been great. I think the Times came down, didn't they? As well as 365 Days of Sport.
The Times or the Sunday Times?
Oh, that's the question. I don't know.
Well, the Bromley Times.
365 Days of Sport, an Australian podcast as well. So Andy's been on the airwaves down under, which is brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going global, you know. I'm sure we've got, you know, our listeners in...
Yeah, we were going global on Tuesday with the commentary.
Yeah, well, were we?
Yeah, we had loads. We had like over 200 listening, and then there was someone from New Zealand.
Oh,
someone
that's
from
very
Spain.
Spain, that's very true. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that. Yeah, so that's one of them, of course. And then the next of which is the following Saturday, as we are once again on BT Sport, which is fantastic. They do love us, don't they? And we're away to Stockport County on that day. So for those of you travelling, remember, it is a 5:20 kickoff. The club are running a coach. I believe there are still some spaces available on that coach, Jeff.
Correct.
So you can book those at bromleyfc.co.uk. Great to be on BT Sport again. We were actually there last season, weren't we, during the COVID year on BT Sport away at Stockport, and that was one of Andy's first games, wasn't it?
Didn't we?
I think that was Andy's second game. Yes, it was. Yes, 0-0 in the end, wasn't it? Liam Vincent, that was when he really first started to play, wasn't it? And what a game he had that day. But no, absolutely brilliant. We're looking forward to that one.
Obviously Stockport with a new manager as well, so I suppose it's
Dave Challoner.
It's all got a story there, isn't it?
Interesting.
Very interesting. Moving away slightly now from First Team Affairs, Matt, and on to the community. Was it last Friday?
It was last Friday, yes, a week ago.
We held an Eighth Wonder event, Matt. Eighth Wonder, what is it?
Eighth Wonder is a group set up by Charlotte Richardson and Natalie Curtis at the Kent FA. Charlotte Richardson, some of you might recognise the name. She does the BBC Kent coverage and BBC London, I believe, sometimes as well, for us and for a whole host of teams. And it's been brilliant to have the coverage from her last season. She got in touch with yourself and I, Jeff, and we arranged this day, which is basically aimed at inspiring girls and young women into careers in football away from the field. So it was an all-day event. The girls came in and registered, had a couple of talks from the Kent FA and some mental health organisations in the morning, followed by some sort of internal workshops. And then the afternoon, there were a host of sessions going on. They had Kira from the analysis department doing a little showcase of how her job works. Huss, the physio as well, did a little physio experience and what his day is and what his role is. Paula Johnson from Crystal Palace Women was here as well to do something similar on her side. And they even roped me in and I was talking about, I don't know why they asked me.
Talking
about how to commentate an interview.
But Emma was also commercial.
Yes, so Emma joined me in that workshop and she talked more on the commercial marketing side of things.
It was brilliant.
Andrea from Bromley Bells too was involved and they both sat on the panel at the end and took questions from the girls. It was a really, really great day. 57, I believe, in attendance.
Fantastic.
Which is incredible.
No, absolutely brilliant. And like you say, it was just so good seeing that, having the different workshops all going on at the same thing. I've not seen a similar event, you know, held elsewhere or by other football clubs. But like you say, I think we played a very, very small part in that. I think Charlotte Richardson and Natalie put on an absolutely amazing, amazing job to pull that all together. And it was just a privilege to be a part of it, Matt.
It really, really was. And it was great. I was sort of thrown in a little bit. I walked upstairs to see how everything was going. And Charlotte sort of called me over. Matt, come and say hello to everyone. So I stood in front of everyone and said hello.
Oh, dear.
That put me on the spot a little bit. But talking of Charlotte, it was great to work with her. And all the work she's doing on that side of things. And Natalie as well has been absolutely amazing. Here's what she had to say on how the day went.
It was a huge success. The numbers were above and beyond anything that I had envisaged. We had 57 girls attend the day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it was a long day, but a really rewarding one. And we were made to feel welcome from the very off, from everyone across the football club. And the day itself just went really, really smoothly. We spent the morning talking and equipping the girls with knowledge around sort of confidence, self-belief, leadership skills, and then in the afternoon sort of transitioned into more specific workshops around careers in the game, from working with us and the medical team, who are absolutely incredible, to Emma and yourself, Matt, leading a session around media and marketing. We did a session on coaching. We had Paula Johnson from Crystal Palace Women talking all about general management, and then Kira, who is the club analysis. And it was just fascinating. It was really brilliant. And that all culminated in a Q&A with guests from the Kent FA, the Isthmian League, and so on. And it was brilliant. The girls went away definitely empowered, definitely inspired, and all wanting to make a massive difference to grassroots football, with the aspiration of breaking into the professional game as well. So it was a huge success. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, want to thank everyone at the football club for enabling us and the girls themselves to enjoy such an incredible development day with you.
Really, really brilliant event, Matt, to be a part of.
Absolutely, and really incredible actually to see how much the girls learnt from it and how much they enjoyed the experience. It was really great to host some of the sessions as well. All the girls really, really engaged with it, and thanks to Emma for her help with it as well, and for all of the people who got involved. I have to mention Harry Honor as well, girls academy coach who came down to help out and got involved from a Bromley perspective. So yeah, really, really nice day, and hopefully the first of many.
Brilliant. Moving on to Academy Affairs now and the FA Youth Cup. This will probably end up being this will go off script.
Yeah, I'll start then.
Obviously, script, like we've got a script, that's brilliant.
Well, off running order. Yeah, obviously the the under 18s progressed with a brilliant 5-0 win away to Barnet, and then drawn.
Wasn't it?
The Monday before, I think, or a couple of weeks before that, early October, I believe. And then it was Lewis who were the next opposition, and Bromley went down there and won 2-1 at the Dripping Pan in a closely contested game.
Shout out to Lewis for live streaming it.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yes.
We thought that was it, Jeff, but it
2-1
wasn't.
2-1 win, waiting for the draw today, weren't we?
Yes, but it turns out that wasn't it.
No, so the game's being replayed. And it's going to be replayed. I don't know if they've confirmed the date, but we're hoping to play it here next Friday, aren't we? Which is a great opportunity, I guess. But it appears that one of the Lewis players has been sin-binned. Now, that's instead of a yellow card or instead of a red card. Is that the whole? Is it an in-between thing?
I think it is. Yeah, they use it in the under 23s.
I was going to say you've seen it happen in the Suburban League game.
It has happened. Yeah, that's right.
But basically. Sin bins don't exist in the FA Youth Cup, and it appears that the referee in question was unaware of that fact. So very random. There was a player. Lewis had a player off the pitch for a 10-minute period. Is that sin bin?
I think it was. Yeah.
A goal wasn't conceded during that time or anything like that. I think he was sin bin for his response to one of the goals, by the sounds of it.
That's it. Yeah.
And yeah, a panel up at Wembley or via Zoom or Teams or however they do it now. Decided that the game wasn't played under the laws of the game. Is that right? Something like
Correct,
that?
Correct, yeah.
And therefore, we'll replay it.
Not good.
And it'll be played at our place.
If
we can't host it, then it gets played at Lewis. But we can host it, and we are hosting it. And it's going to be next Friday, 8 o'clock, 7.45. Sorry, 7.45. I'm devastated. I feel a bit
It's gutting, isn't it?
For the boys. And then at the same time, about a minute later, the draw for the next round happened. Mm. And if they do beat Lewis again, they're going to play Forest Green Rovers away.
Yeah, and they were all really, really pleased with that draw as well, weren't they? But yeah, it's such a shame that it's not going to be that simple, unfortunately. They've got to play another game to get there now, despite winning the previous one and battling really hard to do so. So really disappointing news, isn't it?
I think given the fact that the first year we're at Stockport as well and live on telly, it would be great to see fans get behind the boys next Friday night and get down here. It would be brilliant to see as many people as possible. Being the FA Youth Cup, I don't think it can be free for season ticket holders. I think it's probably going to end up being £3 for adults and £1 for under 16s. But please do, if you know you're not making a trip on Saturday and you need a football fix, please make sure you get down here next Friday. I think the boys deserve a support. It'd be great to see as many supports come down as possible, really cheer them on against the Lewis side, who are clearly going to be determined to try and take the opportunity that's arisen.
I think equally for Bromley as well, though, they'll feel
it's not the same ref, it's
injustice.
I think it'll be the same ref. It might be, you know.
Really?
When you have replayed games, if you have a replay, it's the same ref, isn't it?
Not sure he'll be too popular on the night if that's the case.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Well, moving on then from FA Youth Cup to FA Cup, I guess.
And FA Cup fever is spreading, Matt.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And Jeff, I think it's six coaches, isn't it, now, fans that are travelling?
Correct.
Which is absolutely incredible support and huge credit as well. And thanks to the chairman for putting on the coaches for the supporters. And it's fair to say they've been gratefully received, haven't they?
Oh, it's fantastic. Bristol Rovers, I remember seeing a convoy come out. It's just going to add to that sense of occasion. And like you say, six coaches, convoy going up there, full of supporters. Have we got the latest ticket sales? I think it's over 400, but I don't think Rotherham have given us the exact number yet.
I don't think we have, no. I think yesterday it was just under 400. I think it's surpassed that mark today, hasn't it? But we don't have an exact figure that I'm aware of.
I'm really looking for it. I don't know, what's their rules on flags and stuff? I hope everyone's going to bring out all their flags for the occasion.
Are you bringing out the old Bromley Aces?
Yeah, you know what? I've got it in the car.
Oh, unbelievable.
I'm going to bring it.
That's a blast from the coach,
yeah. So yeah, like you say, it's going to be, yeah, it's just always a party atmosphere, isn't it? Until the whistle blows for the start of the game, and then the nerves start setting straight away, and then you're counting the minutes where it's still 0-0, and everybody I speak to, obviously Rotherham are clearly a very good side, and I think their league position stakes that, Matt.
Absolutely, and they're doing very well on their current form as well. They do have a number of very experienced, very, very good players, and the one that the Bromley fans have been talking about and that we actually mentioned before on the commentary, I think, on Tuesday, Jeff, is Romani Edmonds-Green, who's on loan from Huddersfield Town and is doing absolutely brilliantly at Rotherham.
That's ironic. He sort of made a bit of a name for himself during his time with us. Especially that Bristol Rovers game, if I remember.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you're right. He played in... I couldn't work it out on Tuesday. I wasn't too sure. But he did play in that game and he had an absolute blinder, didn't he?
Oh, he was superb. He was a class above the rest. But he ended up going off injured towards the end, didn't he?
He was one of those that... Well, a lot of players did that day, didn't they? We struggled
Even
in the end.
Even the subs that came on got injured, was it?
Clifton, the manager, Smudge at the time, just said, just stand in the box. Don't come off. Just be there to defend with headers and everything like that. And it was one of those days that was really, really special. And you see the clips going around of the goal this week and but, just
yeah,
the noise.
I mean, look, it's a day out for us as fans tomorrow, but it's not a day out for the players.
No, you know, absolutely. Andy's made that very clear, hasn't
100%,
he?
But you said, no doubt, within the camp, you've got experienced players that have all played in first-round games before against big clubs and stuff, you know.
Well,
we've
got players, Jeff, that have been the big club. You know, in these types of games, you know, we've got the likes of Byron Webster that has played against Man United and all sorts. And you know, we've got some vast experience in this squad. And like I say, players that have been in the other team's shoes, in Rotherham's shoes in the past.
Like you say, it's a day out for us. It certainly isn't for the players and the manager. They're going to go there and obviously give it their all. And yeah, I just can't wait for it to kick off. It's going to be a party atmosphere before
it
the
is,
game.
I think
the fans on the coach, I think when they get to the ground, it's going to be a brilliant atmosphere. But like I say, when that whistle goes to kick off, you'll start to hear some hushes and it'll start to go a bit quiet a bit. And I just hope, as long as the fans can be as vocal as possible, really, really back the boys. Anyone bring a drum? I've not got a drum, but someone must bring a drum.
just going to say as well,
it's like Marmite drum, it's love hate.
It is, yeah, it is, isn't it? A couple of players that fans might recognise from Rotherham. One of them is Will Grigg.
Will Grigg?
Will Grigg.
On fire.
He's on, well, hopefully not. Hopefully not. Our defence is definitely not terrified.
He was in the Sunderland documentary, wasn't he?
When he was.
Sunderland owner,
yeah,
paid
the whole chant.
£3 million for him.
Unbelievable.
Like he was worth about a million. And then another person at Sunderland at the time was the old Eastleigh manager, Richard
Hill. Yes, yeah.
Who was telling the chairman not to do it.
Mm.
Sorry, that's a Netflix documentary for those who wonder what we're talking about. What was it called? Sunderland Till I Die.
Sunderland Till I Die, that's
very
one, yeah.
Good.
Freddie Ladapo as well, the ex-Crystal Palace player. who's doing very, very well at Rotherham, has made his name up there. He's played for a few football league teams. I believe he spent time at Crystal Palace as well. And I think I'm right in saying he actually made his name in non-league for Margate, which, yes, he did. He got his deal at Crystal Palace off the back of a very successful time at Margate around 6 years ago. So he'll be one to watch out for as well. But the stadium, absolutely unbelievable, isn't it?
The New York Stadium, isn't it?
Yes, it is, something like that. Yeah,
They haven't been in there that long, have they?
I don't think so. No, it's a very modern stadium, and it's certainly one I'm looking forward to visiting. It looks amazing.
It's all enclosed, isn't it? It's all seated, all roofed up and stuff. So it'd be great to see what 400 Bromley fans can generate noise-wise for the boys. And I'm sure the manager has said it, if he hasn't. But I think we're really going to have to play our part as a 12th man tomorrow to make sure the boys get the backing when they come out of that tunnel and they see all the fans. I was going to say a sea of black and white, but we're actually going to be in blue tomorrow, aren't we?
Blue, which is the second time this season we've worn the blue, isn't it? Because, of course, Rotherham are red and white, so we don't really have a choice.
Aha. Uh-huh.
There we go. Brilliant. Looking forward to it.
It's been good luck so far, hasn't it?
Well,
their floodlights won't go out.
Touching the table here, touch wood. There we go. Well, looking forward to it, and it's going to be a great day, and let's hope for some similar scenes to the ones we saw at Bristol Rovers a couple of years ago. The support on that day was immense. It's going to be very similar to tomorrow in terms of that support, and we're really, really looking forward to it.
We are allowed to.
I will be on the airways for those of you who aren't able to make the trip. Hopefully that hasn't put you off listening to us tomorrow, but we might even get the occasional contribution from Josh as well.
It's going to be you and Josh.
Josh is
here. I'm going to go behind a goal.
Very quiet tonight.
Are we behind a goal or in a corner? Where's the action
away? I don't actually know. Any idea, Josh? Josh seems to be our go-to guy at the minute.
Where's the away section actually put? Oh, it's got to be behind a goal, surely.
I'll look out for you, Jeff. If Scott says we can hear you from the other side of Woking's ground, then I'm going to try and listen out tomorrow. Come on, let's do it. Let's do this.
Oh, I'm absolutely buzzing. 10 games unbeaten, going into the FA Cup. What more can you ask for? 400 fans travelling, 6 pack supporters, coaches, football.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Well, I think that's a wrap for today, isn't it, Jeff? I don't think there's anything else to go over. That's us. Well, thank you so much for joining us, everyone. The support since we've relaunched the podcast has been absolutely fantastic. Great to hear so many of you coming up to us on a match day saying that you're enjoying them. Great stuff to hear. Well, I'm a buzzing around on a match day, aren't I? So, yes, thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thank you, Jeff, for joining me. And thank you, Josh, for everything that you're doing behind the scenes as well. And we'll see you again next time.
No problem. Champions League, you could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town.